When the historian's ideological bias distorts or ignores evidence from the past, a bad kind of revisionism emerges.
Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College, talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
It masquerades as honest history. Such revisionism needs to be exposed and dismantled. It undermines proper understanding of our world. It has been said those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. In this case, failure to expose bad revisionism means that those who do not know the past are condemned to suffer at the hands of biased ideologues who claim they do.
You can meet and hear Dr. Mark Kaltoff making the case against revisionist history at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
These people who are going nuts, screaming at the Supreme Court, pounding on the doors, and doing the same thing at colleges, what happens on campus is not going to stay on campus. It is going to infect the mainstream of our politics.
Most school boards are not responsive to parents any longer, so it's not the same public school. And the game changer really has been just this promotion of the LGBT culture.
When is grace ever not radical? So why do you need to qualify it with the word radical? What's the itch you're trying to scratch here?
These forms of worship come with an inherent enthusiastic theology that is diametrically opposed to the sacraments and the means of grace.
I'm a harpist in Arkansas, and I love Issues Etc.
Well, Attorney General Jeff Sessions can't win. When he isn't being threatened on Twitter by the president with his job, he is being criticized in a very interesting way by the New York Times. He's got a lot on his plate. The Department of Justice has an awful lot to do, not to mention the shenanigans of the FBI. What have we learned about the Department of Justice over the last 2 years and about the FBI in particular? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, October the 22nd, from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. I'm Todd Wilkins. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about a New York Times story on Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice. Molly Hemingway will be our guest. Then Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will join us. We continue our series introducing the books of the Bible today. The enigmatic book of Daniel that starts out as a series of what have become Sunday school stories, and then ends with a series of visions that are hard to understand. Even now that we have the New Testament, they're still a little difficult to sort out. We'll try to do that with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, will be with us for the last half hour as we begin Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We've started a theme, Paths to Lutheranism. Hers will be From Charismatic Revivalism. You can join us as well with questions or comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, as usual, 618-223-8382. Molly Hemingway is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about a New York Times story on Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice. She's a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled NYT. Jeff Sessions is doing a great job fighting DOJ's liberal bureaucracy. Molly, welcome back.
It's great to be here with you.
Before we start into the Jeff Sessions New York Times piece, I was curious what your thoughts are on a forthcoming regulation from the Trump administration that, according to the Washington Post, would expand religious and moral exemptions for covering birth control in health insurance plans provided by employers. And recently, Louise Melling, who is the American Civil Liberties Union deputy legal director, has said that this rule is nothing short of radical. Quote, there is no backstop to ensure coverage for employees. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I wish it were true that there were a radical protection for employers to be protected from having to be paying for providing abortive patients for their employees. But in fact, these regulations are fairly narrow. It's a revisiting of an issue that was brought up last year, which is just part of this long fight that we're going to have over how much we can force people to do with the insurance plans they provide their employees. And of course, a big part of that is with paying for birth control, including some forms of birth control that are actually abortifacients. The Supreme Court had ruled granting employers some protections, certain types of employers some protections from being forced to pay for abortifacients. You know, famously, we discussed the Little Sisters of the Poor, who the Obama administration was suing to force to provide these things against their religious views. These regulations, which are being issued this month, are final proposed regulations that were first discussed last year that would provide some protections for religious employers, but also some protections for people who had moral objections. And this is an interesting thing to discuss because usually we say that the government has a higher bar for forcing people to do things when it conflicts with their religious views. And the Trump administration is also looking at how to handle things when it's a moral objection as opposed to a religious objection. And I think people who respect conscience rights and conscience protections are happy to see both moral and religious objections covered. And it's an expansion from the traditional religious objections. But it also might not be a great sign for religious liberty in the long run that people are being focused more on moral objections as opposed to religious protections. We do have a lot of protections for the religious in this country, and there are many assaults on that. But this is just an interesting continuation of the story from last year.
It's being called a rollback of at least part of the Affordable Care Act that was put into place by President Obama.
Well, you want to talk about radical. You could use that word to describe what happened when the Affordable Care Act was forced through Congress. A lot of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act were actually dictated by bureaucrats at the Health and Human Services Department. They had a massive leeway to decide what had to be covered and what didn't have to be covered. And people who support abortion on demand were adamant that as much in that direction be covered as possible. That was a radical change in our country where the government can tell people that they have to pay or provide for things that kill a human being after it's been conceived. So in that sense, it is not technically incorrect to have a double negative there, to say it's a rollback, but the actual radical move was enforcing nuns and other Christians and other religious people to violate their conscience or face crippling fines that would destroy their groups, whether they're churches or nonprofits, religious orders. That was the radical thing that caused so many people to be concerned about what was happening and also caused so many people to care a lot about what was happening at the Supreme Court because they were seeing religious liberty rolling back.
Moving to the subject of the New York Times, its recent treatment of Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice, you say that this is an attempt at a hit piece that backfires. Why?
So last week, the New York Times writes this piece saying that Jeff Sessions is causing a decline in morale and there's an increase in infighting in Justice Department employees because he is implementing the Trump administration's stated objectives that they claimed they would, what they said they would do when Trump was running for office, enforcing immigration laws or making sure that people don't redefine sex to include gender identity, you know, things like this that we've seen in the news. Apparently, when Jeff Sessions implements these things, he is a threat to the bureaucracy. Well, I'm not sure if people think that's a bad thing when they see that the bureaucracy has been acting in a way that is not accountable to the American people. And so this piece was intended to portray him as really bad because he was forcing through all these things that uphold rule of law in different areas, whether it's transgender issues or immigration or otherwise. And I think most Americans would say, well, that's good that he's able to take on the bureaucracy, since regardless of what you think about Jeff Sessions or his views, in this country, we believe that the bureaucracy is accountable to elected officials. And so the real threat would be if the bureaucracy was not held accountable to what the people wanted.
Among other things, you have some concerns about the way the New York Times piece was sourced. What's that?
It's a continuous problem that the New York Times and a few other so-called mainstream publications have. They claim that they are accurately representing the views of an agency that literally has more than 100,000 employees. The headline of the piece was something like, you know, about Jeff Sessions harming rank and file employees. But no one's quoted to support this. There are some anonymous quotes. There are some well-known resistance figures who haven't even been in the administration. And yet the reader is expected to trust the reporter that these anonymous reports based on hearsay are somehow credible. And it's particularly troublesome because the piece was actually had a bunch of errors. So one of the things that they said was that there was this apolitical bureaucrat, and she was just very good at following the law, so that when the Obama administration tried to redefine sex to include gender identity, she did a really good job of implementing that. And then when Jeff Sessions said, actually, the law is pretty clear, sex refers to biological distinctions, not subjective feelings, she said that she felt she was forced to implement this without any input. The Times says they didn't seek any input from career lawyers before Jeff Sessions forced this. Well, it turns out that's not true. The Sessions department actually consulted career attorneys across multiple departments. And this woman, who we're told is somehow very apolitical and just doing her job, left the Trump administration to go work for a group that works on transgender issues and is a very leftist political group. So the sourcing can be a problem when all of these things are treated not the most accurately.
In a more general sense, we have had a window opened into the Department of Justice and in particular into the FBI in the last 2 years. What have we learned about the entrenched bureaucracy that exists there in that department?
Well, there are a couple things. One, we already know that overwhelmingly bureaucrats tend to be liberal. We know this from their voting patterns and their political donations, and just by, you know, if you live in the Washington, D.C. area where a lot of bureaucrats are based, it's hard to ignore that issue. And that is a real problem. But I think when you look at what happened at the FBI and Department of Justice, the politicization of these agencies as they ran informants against the Trump campaign and had wiretaps on people associated with the Trump campaign and bought into what we now know was a Hillary Clinton privately or secretly funded and operated information campaign alleging Russia collusion, they totally bought into that. I'm not entirely sure that represents the bureaucracy as a whole, so much as a few select bad actors who weren't doing their jobs very well, who were very gullible, who were politically motivated. But I don't think that actually represents the vast majority of people at the FBI or DOJ. Having said that, any attempts to find out what was going on with this group of people are met with constant blockades by people at the Department of Justice and FBI who should be willing to let the American people just find out for once and for all what was going on, who was involved, how bad their decision making was, so that there can be accountability for this, and also so that people can feel somewhat confident that this type of attack on political opponents wouldn't happen in the future.
Some more general questions about Jeff Sessions. I guess one thing that I've been confused about, and I do not follow these things as closely as I ought to, partly because I don't have to, like you. I've seen, like everyone else has, some of the glancing blows that the president occasionally likes to throw toward Jeff Sessions on social media. There are calls for him to be fired. But in the context of that, how important was then Senator Sessions in actually getting Donald Trump elected?
Well, Senator Sessions was the first senator to endorse Donald Trump. He was absolutely key in the campaign, and he was rewarded for that with this plum position of attorney general. I think that, and I don't know Jeff Sessions or I don't know him well, but people who know him say that he is a very honorable person. They also say that he was incredibly naive, that he didn't realize what the Russia collusion narrative was. And so when he recused himself from anything to do with either campaign, he was behaving in what he believed was an honorable fashion, but he was completely naive to just how much the Russia collusion narrative would be used to undermine an entire administration thwart any of its efforts and render the Justice Department unaccountable to the people by sidelining everyone from the Attorney General to anyone else who would represent the Trump administration. So he has faced a lot of opprobrium from the president who attacks him on Twitter or otherwise, but it is also true that he really made a huge error in recusing himself. The idea that you could have what we now see, you know, I never used to like this term, but a deep state that's operating to subvert the Trump administration, and you don't have your attorney general to help you with what is, you know, it's at times comes off like a coup. That is a very harmful thing for the American people and for the people in the Trump administration. So it was a failure on his part, and you see how it has sidelined him for 2 years, although, as the New York Times story shows, he's able to implement other things that have nothing to do with the Russia investigation. And that is unfair to the Trump administration and to President Trump himself. So I think nobody would be surprised if he is removed, because he is not actually able to do his job in a very important way, which is making sure that there's a check on this special counsel that nobody even knows what its limits are. It has no limits on its budget. It might have no limits on its reach. And I think most people realize there's no treasonous collusion with Russia, or if there is any treasonous collusion with Russia from Trump, that will be huge news. But we have seen no evidence to support it, despite spending a lot of money, time, and energy and on this search.
So those who call for his firing on the right essentially want him to be replaced with someone who will not take control, but at least exercise some oversight over those investigations.
I mean, there needs to be accountability and oversight of any law enforcement operation. That's true whether you are in the city police or the county sheriff or the FBI and Department of Justice. You need political accountability for it. The idea that these people should be allowed to act and have no checks on what they're doing is not defensible in our form of government. The idea that you should have people with guns and the power to imprison people be completely independent from any political accountability is a deeply un-American way of doing things. I understand other countries might do things differently. But I think it's also important to note that Jeff Sessions recused himself, according to people who know him, because he really thought it was the honorable thing to do, and he thought he was operating in a town with other people who were operating in good faith. And I think that has been shown to be very naive.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled NYT, Jeff Sessions is doing a great job fighting DOJ's liberal bureaucracy. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and you can follow Molly on Twitter at MZ Hemingway. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed?, continuing our series with him, introducing the books of the Bible into a book that the beginning of it is easy to understand. It just reads like Sunday school stories. And then right around chapter 7, it gets really hard to understand. We'll talk about Daniel after this. Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can meet and hear Anthony Esalen, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Roseborough at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Issuesetc.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.